So this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And in a few minutes, I'm going to talk with the children, and some of you may want to be children of God up here as well, about Peace Lab, our vacation Bible school this week, and why that's particularly important in this time, that children and the people who work with them have a grow toward peace on their hearts and then in our lives. And part of the way that we learn about that is by connecting to Jesus. So that's what we're talking about in this season, in June and July, connecting to Jesus, the power of hope. We talked about Jesus, our true hope, a couple weeks ago, last week about temptations. Today we're going to hear some scriptures and a message about how Jesus is with us in the worst of times. So we're going to hear first a scripture from Psalm 103 that kind of takes us back in time into the days of the Hebrew people, where we, through the psalmist, acknowledge that the psalmist could say whatever was on his heart to God. And sometimes that was praise for healing. Sometimes it was the hard things that were on the psalmist's heart. And so we hear some verses from Psalm 103. Then in a few minutes, a story from the Gospel of Mark where Jesus reaches for someone who really is in the worst of times and brings something very important to that person. Mark 1:40-45. I invite you to journey with us into these scriptures. We'll begin with Psalm 103.
This is from the Common English Bible. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless his holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all his good deeds. How God forgives all of your sins, heals all of your sicknesses, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good things. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all the workers and all the children at Vacation Bible School and for this theme of Peace Lab that's continuing in Sunday school throughout the summer. We pray, oh God, that you would indeed help us learn to care for one another as we all live together, live and work together, so that we can be your peaceful people in the world and spread that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for being here.
Need a hand up?
No, I'm good. I'm better myself.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed.
In our second scripture reading this morning, Mark tells us about an encounter that Jesus has with a leper. A leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of God for the people of God.
God, please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word. Create an open space in us where your love, your peace, your healing can come. In Jesus' name, amen. So we had read a bit about this place before going, and we were anxious to actually see it. You know, pictures and stories in a book hardly ever give the full impact of a place, right? You know this? Like when you get to see it. Now, this place that I'm going to talk about was not open to the public when we were last in Israel in 2014, until we went this past February. So we were anxious to see it. Now, you're looking at a map of the Sea of Galilee, and which is in the northern part of Israel. So if you look on the left-hand side, about halfway up or so, you see a red dot that says Tiberias. Tiberias is the largest city on the Sea of Galilee. It's where tourists usually stay, not always, but usually stay. Then if you go about 3 miles north of there, you'll see a dot that says Magdala. And if you go a little bit further northwest, about 6 miles, you will come to Capernaum. So it's Capernaum north, then about 6 miles to Magdala, another 3 miles to Tiberias. This is Jesus' country. It's Jesus' country. He lived and he worked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, people often think about Jesus, when they think about Jesus, they think about his birth in Bethlehem or his time in Jerusalem, especially his death and resurrection. In Israel, Galilee is in the north, and Samaria in the center, and Judea in the south. And Judea is where Jerusalem and Bethlehem are. And we do think a lot about Jesus in relation to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. But 80% of Jesus' ministry took place on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The land around the Sea of Galilee is infused with the Spirit of Christ. The land, and it's in the air you breathe around the Sea of Galilee. In the mid-2000s, a Roman Catholic organization led by Father Eamon Kelly bought a piece of land in Magdala. Mary Magdalene was born there long ago, on this northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee between Capernaum and Tiberias. And the Catholic organization intended to build a pilgrim's hotel, place for people to stay, an interfaith chapel, a restaurant, and a women's shelter. But in Israel, like many places, archaeological excavations are mandatory before any construction can begin. And guess what? When archaeologists and volunteers started digging, they were astonished to find a treasure. An almost complete first century synagogue, one of only 7 in Israel and the only one on this north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and only one of 7 in the entire world. Father Eamon Kelly says, this is the first synagogue ever excavated where Jesus walked and preached, calling it hugely important for both Jews and Christians. The synagogue that's in Capernaum is a later synagogue. There are ruins, but it's a later synagogue. But this is a first century synagogue in Magdala. Experts say it's highly likely that Jesus would have preached in this synagogue, believed to have been built around the year 1, about the time Jesus was born, as a simple structure, and then added to sometime around the year 40. So, I stood at the excavation of the synagogue in Magdala, and I thought, Jesus was almost certainly here at one time or another. Imagine that. To stand and look and walk in the place where almost certainly Jesus was. And then I remembered this passage from Mark chapter 1 earlier than the one Tammy just read, right before it. Jesus has been in Capernaum, up a little bit further north. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, said to him, "Everyone's searching for you." And Jesus answered, "Let's go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues. And this one in Magdala is almost surely one of those synagogues. Then you walk down a ways from the excavation of the synagogue. Now, a town has also been excavated there. You walk down a ways, though, from the excavation of the town and the synagogue toward the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and you see it shimmering in the sunlight. A beautiful chapel has been built there on the shore with this boat-shaped altar overlooking the Sea of Galilee. I wondered when I walked in there how any preacher could capture anyone's attention when you're standing in front of that amazing altar overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Walking into that chapel, looking out, thinking, this is a ways out from the town and the synagogue. And I could picture Jesus walking and teaching, laughing, getting a drink from his water pouch, eating and sharing with his disciples right here. Perhaps this is near where Jesus met the leper that day, long ago, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, hidden in the small cliffs on that grassy shore that leads down to the sea. Now, leprosy is a bad skin disease. In Jewish law, it made the victim unclean and capable of polluting others, making them unclean. Consequently, those with leprosy were often cast out from their families and their communities, made to live alone or with other lepers in the wilderness places. This person who comes to Jesus is in the worst of times. He has a terrible disease. He's been cast out from his family and community. And remember, if he touches someone, that person becomes unclean. So he comes on that day begging to Jesus, and he kneels down and says, if you choose, you can make me clean. Jesus is moved by his request. That's what we're told in the scripture. Jesus is moved by it. But remember, according to Jewish law, anyone who touches someone with leprosy is made unclean and has to go through this long cleansing process. It's laid out in great detail in Leviticus chapter 14, 30 verses of what a person who might be healed from leprosy has to go through and what somebody who touches a leper has to go through. If you have leprosy and you're made clean, you have to offer sacrifices, you have to go through many times of cleansing. You have to show yourself to priests. You have to eat certain foods and not eat other ones. It's this long process. Standing there, somewhere near the shore of the Sea of Galilee, probably in the shadows of this Magdala synagogue, a center of Jewish worship and teaching, or somewhere near there, Jesus stretches out his hand. And he touches the man and says to him, I do choose. I do choose. Be made clean. And Jesus becomes his wound specialist. You know what a wound specialist is, right? We have those. A wound specialist is somebody who has creams and treatments to make wounds better. It takes time, it takes skill for we humans to do that. The scripture says immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Whoa! We stand on that shore and remember Jesus is taking the risk to reach for a man who others had cast out and written off. Then Jesus says something that's strange to us. He sternly warns the man. After he's healed him, he sternly warns the man to go and do what you need to do. Go show yourself to the priest. Do all that stuff in the 30 verses of Leviticus 14. But don't tell anyone what's happened. We don't really know why Jesus says that. Maybe it's because there's already enough crowds around him and he doesn't want any more. Or maybe it's because Jesus doesn't want to be defined just by doing healings. He has a message to bring. He has words and preaching and teaching to bring. And he doesn't want the people to come just because of the healings. But the man can't keep it to himself. Who could? You're healed of leprosy, and Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Who could? He went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer be in the cities. He had to go find more deserted places. Jesus doesn't seem to care about becoming unclean. People keep coming to him. He keeps teaching and healing. And eventually he goes back to Capernaum, just north of Magdala. What about us? Well, standing on that wilderness shore with Jesus, we take time to remember what God has done and is doing for us to bring healing and hope to our lives. We take a moment to stop and remember what God has done and is doing to bring healing and hope to our lives. Now, you don't have to actually go there to the Sea of Galilee because I just took you there in story and in memory. Everybody can't go, but some people go, and then we can tell you the stories. The story then calls forth for you the times when Jesus has reached for you, reached for me. Maybe we've not had leprosy, I hope not, but we have all needed healing at one time or another. We take time to remember how Jesus has been with us in the worst of times, whatever those might be, and brought and brings healing and hope. And we take a moment to give thanks. Whenever I think about Jesus healing someone like this in the worst of times, I think about my grandma. And my grandma died in 1991, so it's some years ago. And about 5 years before she died, she pretty much had lost her sight. And that was a worst of times thing for her because she loved to crochet. It helped her with her arthritis, but also she made things for people and she couldn't do it anymore. And she loved to read her large print Bible and she couldn't do that anymore. Not to have her sight was a worst time thing for her. And one day we took her to the doctor and the doctor said, you know, we probably could remove those cataracts. And so Grandma had cataract surgery. Now, this is 27 years ago, so it's a little different now than then, but they did both her eyes at the same time. And almost immediately, her sight was restored. And it was a miracle to her, as surely as if she had gone to Jesus and said, please heal me. And Jesus reached for her and said, I want you to be healed. It was a miracle for her. And you know what it took? It took people who used their skills and who were willing to use them to be the healing power of Jesus, our wound specialist, to take direction from Jesus. Now, I know that there are other worst of times for some of us that may be a memory or something in the past, but for some of you here right now, you have taken the risk to be here even though you may be in a worst of times thing right now. You may be terribly heartsick about a relative or a friend. You may yourself feel lost or alone or caught in something destructive. You may feel cast out as surely as that leper that Jesus encountered. You may feel deeply concerned about the pain and suffering in our world. And this message is for you. You've taken the risk to come. Like that one who needed Jesus long ago, and in this moment, Jesus reaches for you and says, I choose for you to be made well. You may be in a place of loneliness or fear, awaiting a diagnosis, concerned about a child or a grandchild, trying to recover or accepting that you won't, and Jesus reaches for you and says, "Even in the worst of times, I choose for you to be made well." You may be deeply concerned about our world, and Jesus reaches out and says, "You know, it may take a while, but I've got it. I've got it. I choose to be involved in the healing of the world." May your heart be lifted. May you know the tender and the fierce touch of Jesus' love and begin to be healed. Boy, this can be uncomfortable, can't it? Standing with Jesus and with all those who are untouchable and letting the wound specialist cover over all the wounds, standing by, watching. What do we learn? Well, those among us who have known the healing power of Jesus in the past and perhaps are doing well now, how is this story for us? You know, I think that the wound specialist Jesus longs for the healing of the world, for all to be well, for people to live in peace, for families to be whole, for everyone to have enough, for peace. That's why Peace Lab and the things that children learned and are learning all summer is so important. To begin with love and end with peace. Because then they and we participate in the healing of the world. Jesus asks us to be part of that. To take the risk to be part of the healing rather than the problem. To stand with people in the worst of their times. To become wound specialists in the name of Christ Jesus. And with him alongside us. If you are in the worst of times today, may you know the healing touch of the wound specialist Jesus by the shore in the wilderness as long ago, right here, right now. If you are better now, or well, or even part of you is well, then listen and let the work of Christ Jesus be carried on with you. And let's pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the healing ministry of Jesus and ask that you lay your healing hand upon all those who are not well. Make your loving presence known to those who are lonely. Give your strengthening power to those who are weak. May those who lack be filled, those who worry be calmed, and those who seek forgiveness, receive it. Help us be part of the healing of our world as we seek to bring peace. May we find all this in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.